Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Wednesday edition, the close out the Cubs edition. I'm curious, as a story lover, wouldn't Quinn Priester, who sat in the nosebleed section watching the Cubs win their first World Series in a century, wouldn't it be great if he could end their playoff hopes this season? Edition. God, that's a good story. We'll see if he does it later today. Edition. Also, a typical Wednesday. That means we've got Brian Balaga, Uncle Homer, all kinds of fun stuff lined up for you. For those of you that want to talk more Packers and less Brewers. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com. The ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable, and a fine alternative while we continue to work through our issues with Spotify. It's the ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can download both in the Apple and Android app stores. Totally free. Totally free. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, who had some sort of coffee-related incident, I'm being told, is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, but at least he's there. That's a win for all of us. Most of us. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer, spreading good cheer and positive vibes throughout AmFam Field. Although tonight they'll be at Wrigley. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. Thanks for asking.
You bet.
AmFam South tonight.
You what?
I wonder if it'll be. I'm guessing the Cubs are going to empty their bucket. There were some Cubs fans in the building on Monday. I don't know what degree. I had kind of asked around about Saturday. And they said it was about 10%. I'm guessing, I don't know, Jell, would you say 15, 20% at AmFam Cubs fans on Monday night?
Yeah, I think 80-20 might be generous to the Cubs fans. Yeah, 80-20 sounds about right.
Yeah. And I would think that we should get 20% down. Everybody jumps onto Hiawatha and heads down there. I think we'd get a 20% nug down at Wrigley today, be my guess. Don't love the start time. Selfishly, I didn't love the 8:08 start time. I'd rather 8:08 with the watching it on TV, and then if I go in person, selfishly again, the 4:08 would be absolutely pristine because then you know you can get like a nice 5 o'clock dinner at the game. But this is what it is. I will. Are we going to try and carve out time? How many people are carving out time to make sure they can watch this game? I would think a vast majority of everybody listening would do that, right?
I will have it on while I'm writing. I thought you were talking to Jesse.
Anybody, can anybody hear me?
Anybody hear me?
Why do you think?
Oh, I just want to make sure that I'm actually talking and it's not like a tin can.
Jason, why
what
do you...
What the blank is going on?
Why do you think you just have a hall pass from all the Brewers conversation here?
I don't. You started the conversation. You were helping with the percentage. I figured, especially if we're asking about people carving out off time during their work schedules, you're the go-to guy.
Well, I mean, my workday is done by 4 o'clock. Let's be real here.
This, I mean, who are we kidding?
This is going to be great for me. Yeah, I'll have a Coors Light in hand, whether I'm at home or anywhere else.
Yeah, I had all kinds of things that I was going to say there, including I'm okay with 4:08.
I couldn't tell. I'm just going to be honest with you. I couldn't tell.
Because I had last night while I was finishing my writing, I had the Yankees game on, and I was sitting there thinking, is this what happens when you have all East Coast-ish teams in one league in the playoffs, right? You've got, I mean, obviously Seattle in the first two games had the home games, but the other choices for home games, Toronto, Detroit, New York, that Yankees game ended like after midnight in New York, right? Like that was a late start on the East Coast. Okay, well, if we're talking about game times, I thought that might be germane. I will take 4:08 over staying up till midnight to see if the Brewers advance.
Okay. I don't know about y'all. I think today we obviously want to close it out in 3, right? And that's obvious to everybody for a lot of reasons. I'm all right if it goes to 4. I'm all right if we go to 4. I am.
So when does there start to be some puckering? Because
if we lose game 4, and then it comes down to everything down at game 5. We don't want to be in a position where you can be eliminated. Obviously. The question I have is, let's say today it's a hard-fought game. We lose 3-2. Good ball game.
This sounds like a polluted mindset to me.
No, I'm just asking, do we end up throwing Peralta tomorrow? Or do we save him for a potential game 5 and go with Quintana tomorrow? Like, Murph has done a great job of not letting anybody really know what he's thinking, and I love that. Is that what you do, or do you go and say, let's nip this thing right here and put up Peralta, even though it's a roadie? What are we doing if that does come to that point? Because it's easy. If we go and throttle the Cubs today, it's fantastic. We move on with our lives. But what happens if we don't?
Jesse, with your close relationship with Pat Murphy, what's your instinct tell you his plan is?
Freddie tomorrow on regular rest. That would be that would be what I would do, because the polluted mindset would be, well, we don't really need game 4. Let's throw Quintana or Gasser or whatever they want to do, bullpen it up.
Well, I was told,
save them. No.
I was told that Quintana is a Cubs killer and a great road pitcher. That's what I was told.
He is.
So I was told that too. Rather have him. That's why I was kind of surprised he's not throwing today.
Well,
a little bit.
But it all
comes back
to game 2.
I thought Priester would throw game 2.
Yeah.
So that mean, because everybody was dialed up, we could have done it that way. And again, I trust Murph. I didn't want him fired in May. So when you kind of look at this whole thing, he knows the pulse of this team. He said we needed to do a bullpen. I would rather have that bullpen day in game 2 than in a game 5, even though if you go game 5, every elimination game is a bullpen day. Any sense of trouble, you give guys the hook and you bring somebody else up. So I think we're looking at this thing and, Cubs are going to be desperate. I want to make sure the Brewers go into this with that same sense of maybe not desperation, but you never let a sleeping dog lie. And I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Sleeping dog lie, like waking a giant? Is that what we're going for? I'm confused as to what we're doing there.
Basically, when you can finish something, finish it, is what that quote means.
Yeah, don't give them hope.
And I think you know that. I think you know that. I do. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think you do.
The Brewers go for the sweep of the Cubs 4:08 for your first pitch, as Tausch mentioned, which, of course, you can hear on the flagship for Brewers baseball, 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee, and, of course, your Madison home for Brewers baseball on 100.5 ESPN Madison and in Beaver Dam on 95.3 WBEV. All Brewers all the time, but not on this show because we'll get to some Packers coming up. So you're not nervous at all. Hey, we're up 2-0.
No.
We got three games to win one. You're feeling good in the neighborhood.
I am. I think if I'm Toronto today, I'm feeling very nervous.
That's exactly where I was going.
The issue is, and baseball is a lot like hockey in the fact you can get hot. And you can, like, the NBA to me is the only league that the best team wins the championship every year. The team that stays healthiest and best wins every year. Baseball, that's not the case. Football, that's not always the case. Although the number one seed getting a bye has helped, I think, steady that a little bit.
Not always.
Baseball, you can think you got all the answers, and then things can slip. And momentum is a real thing, and I know some sports fans don't believe that. I do in a big way. But starting pitching is the momentum, typically. And tonight, or this afternoon, when you get an opportunity in sports, you always need to take advantage of it. And that's where, when you don't, that's where you get that scarring and the pain that every athlete worth a lick has had. And I think the Brewers, the nice part about this and the fact that they do view themselves as underdogs, I don't think they even have any of those thoughts in their head. They know that the Cubs can beat them, but they also know that if they do their thing and they continue on the road that they're on, they got great things ahead of them. And tonight's one of those where you try to end things. You do everything in your power. And I think Pat Murphy will tell you a lot about how he approaches it, whether or not he's looking at this as like we're going to eliminate rather than we have a couple games left if this doesn't go well. And that's a risky thing in itself because if you spend a lot of your capital, bullpen, et cetera, you maybe won't have some things available to you on another night if you don't get it, if you don't close up shop. And that's always the battle line. That's why this postseason baseball is so awesome.
So you think the Toronto Blue Jays are feeling it now today after losing Game 3 in the Bronx, and that is they're still up 2-1, but they're not feeling like they're up 2-1? That's your vibe?
No, I just think it's one thing if you lose a game. Like if they lost 5-1 last night, they get up 6-1 and are coasting thinking
Correct.
They got this.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, and then somebody makes a cut, and you can start feeling it, now all of a sudden I would be shocked if the Yankees don't absolutely throttle them the next game. And then all of the pressure goes to you, and then I would think Game 5 up in Toronto will be an absolute dogfight. That would be my guess. But again, if Toronto's got a stud, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm following Toronto other than Vlad, and I think they got a Bichette, unless they traded him. You don't know who their starting pitching is and what they're doing. That would be the thing if they had their guy, but they got Schlitzky going tonight. The Yankees got Schlitzky. He's their horse. Yeah, I think that's going 5. And you don't want to be a team that, and you saw that with the Yankees Red Sox back in 04. Once you give them one, then there's a little, all you need is a smidge of doubt. Mm-hmm. You don't need a full onslaught of doubt because what happens is, that smidge of doubt becomes a blot of doubt, and then it becomes a big boy bop a doubt. And next thing you know, your whole team is infested, and that's when you end up blowing a big 3-0 lead or 2-0 lead, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, Jesse, did you return? I know you returned to work yesterday after your Monday off. Did you return to the Barry Alvarez show, or did someone else pick that shift up for you?
No, I was in last night, special Tuesday edition of the Barry Alvarez show.
Yeah, I listened. I was on my drive home, and I caught the last half hour of that show last night on my drive back.
Did it include the portion of the program where Barry Alvarez talks a little baseball?
It did, if you listen to the end. Part. Well, then you missed the end.
I must have listened to, you had called Derek Engler, and he was in Milton.
He was.
He was in Milton, and I thought it was very interesting, the difference in how Derek looked at some things at the end of that Michigan game in comparison to Barry and Tark. I thought that was very interesting.
Okay, can we circle back to that? Because I wanted to get to the Pat Murphy part for now.
And why you brought it up? That's why I wasn't sure what your thought process was.
Imagine if you saw the show sheet once in a while. So,
Tausch, you have 2 hours and 20 minutes to come up with how you want to critique what happened at the end of the Badger game there, too.
Oh, whoa, Nelly, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Jesse, if...
You think Wisconsin, and I think I know where you're going with this. Pat Murphy was on with Pat McAfee. I see the show sheet, Jason, so just so you know. It's a funny shtick.
Okay.
Is Pat Murphy the coach you trust the most in Wisconsin right now?
Okay, that's a great question.
It's a great question.
We can do that next.
Don't remember putting that on the show sheet.
Can you just play the audio of Barry Alvarez talking about Pat Murphy so we can get to break?
Yeah, I never thought about this before, but Barry offered up last night. He was at Notre Dame while Pat Murphy was at Notre Dame.
Rudy Rudinger.
They had offices right next to each other. He knows Pat Murphy very well. So we started talking a little Brewers at the end of the show. And he's all in on the Brewers because he knows Pat Murphy super well. So here's what Barry offered up about Pat Murphy. I thought he summarized this perfectly.
I'm rooting hard for the Brewers. Mm-hmm. Murph is a friend of mine. We coached together. His office was right next to mine in South Bend. He was at Notre Dame when I was at Notre Dame. Great coach, and I'm rooting hard for him. People ask me about Murph. I say Murph coaches baseball like football coaches coach. He easily transitioned right into be a football coach. I mean, he can get after guys. He's a pit bull, and he's going to call spade a spade. He's going to get after his guys when they need to. He's going to pat them on the back. But I think he's much more aggressive than most baseball coaches, my opinion.
How about that,
And if you have an issue with him, go boo in a bar. That was great. That was the kind of out of expectations piece of information that you get on the Barry Alvarez show when Jesse Nelson is there to host it. I thought that was really fun and interesting, and I had not thought about that either, even though they both were at Notre Dame. That did not cross my mind. I loved that from Barry. We will circle back to the difference of opinion on how the Badgers-Michigan game ended, because now I'm intrigued by that. And next, we will talk about who is the Wisconsin coach or manager that you trust the most right now. If we can talk about Pella first.
Yeah. We always could talk about Pella and trust. You know what the smart play is? Trust Gina Della and the team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin when it comes to your home. And this month only, you can score a whole house of new, energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month, and you get zero interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of those drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
All right, so who are we including in this?
Mark Johnson.
You name it.
All right. Matt LaFleur.
No.
Kelly Sheffield.
Yep. No.
Matt LaFleur.
You could. Yeah.
Pat Murphy.
Yep.
Luke Fickell.
Doc
Rivers.
Yeah.
Greg Gard.
This is an open ender. Actually, I want this open ended. We don't poll this. I want to hear all the responses.
Greg Gard.
Yep.
Shaka Smart.
Sure. You know who's going to get a lot of votes?
Gottlieb.
No, we're not voting. We're not polling. You know who's getting a lot is Jeff Hafley. Jeff Hafley is going to get a lot.
Oh, so it does not have to be the head person.
I would argue that Packer fans, well, I'm not going to say that.
They just got cooked for 40 points.
I know what he's going to say, and he's right.
Packers fans trust Jeff Hafley more than they trust Matt LaFleur.
I'm not going to say that.
You should.
Well, what were you going to say?
You should say it.
No, I'm not going to say that.
Okay. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick
around. I'll say this. It's an interesting question.
Well, so wait a minute. So that's what you were about to say. And
sounds
then you like pulled
back. Sounds an
and
awful then Jesse lot and like I say I'm it. Not saying, but I'm saying. Saying
no,
yeah,
I
thought we were retiring that.
Here is what I will say.
Uh-huh.
I believe that there is a very, after last week's or 2 weeks ago now, the debacle of the clock management after that game and all of the shrapnel that Matt LaFleur was taking on. I do believe a lot of fans trust Jeff Hafley more than they trust Matt LaFleur. I do. I think a lot of fans do. I am not in that camp.
Well, we weren't saying that it was your personal opinion.
Yeah, I'm saying, well, my job is to give my personal opinion. I think Matt LaFleur has been there, done that. Jeff Hafley has not. He is the defensive coordinator. But I'm saying, in listening to our fans and seeing all of, and again, Twitter is a whatever.
Echo chamber.
Calls and post-game shows, etc. I think there's a lot of Packer fans that don't trust Matt LaFleur in big games. And I think they trust Jeff Hafley more because the defense, again, with the exception of the debacle in Dallas, has been awesome at what he's done here in Green Bay.
We will take your texts because we need to get ready for Brian Bulaga. So the text portion of the Carbless Talk and text line, 844-770-3030.
You're going to push back on that?
Look, bro, it's Wednesday. Brian Bulaga comes on at 9:30. I'm going to take a break,
yeah,
and then I will push back on it when we get back so we can try and get to him at a reasonable time.
All right, B.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. I see the light go past my shoulder on one less day from dying young, and I'm not afraid
of getting older on one less day. Not sure what we're getting on the text portion of the Carbless Talk and text line where Jesse lords over that. I'm more of a YouTube chat guy. And there are folks that want Mark Johnson to be included here and Kelly Sheffield, yeah, so we will take those.
Hey, it's
again,
an open-ender.
Tausch said it's an open-ended question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't want any dead air like we had in the beginning of the show. I wanted to make sure I jumped in.
Are you sure you're not nervous about game three?
What am I nervous about?
I don't know. You're just a little, you know, you're a little.
No, I'll be nervous. Listen, I'll be nervous if it gets to game four and we struggle. That I ain't nervous at all. But today's one of those free roll games from a fan standpoint. You're excited. There's pressure. I mean, you want to see him close up shop.
Pressure is a privilege.
If you don't, you're all like, well, is there Custer's last stand for the Cubbies? This is a free roll game from a fan standpoint.
Free roll.
I don't like that mentality. Yes. Shut him down.
Polluted
from
mindset.
From my perspective, free roll.
I told Becca on Saturday, every day the Brewers have a playoff game for hopefully the next few weeks, but however long this run goes, I'm just going to have some built-in nervous energy. And
uh-huh.
She said, that's fine. It doesn't give you permission to just be a jerk to people. I said, okay, that's fair. Nervous energy.
A few of the responses so far, in addition to Kelly Sheffield and Mark Johnson, Jerry Odd, who's now become kind of like the, I'm not going to use the term hall monitor because he's much more popular than Jesse would be in there, sure as hell isn't Bisaccia. So
oh,
we
I
weren't really asking
that.
For who you don't trust, but...
I would actually.
That's probably
I would
fairly
think,
commonplace.
And it pains me to say that. Well, I'm not even going to say that, but I would say Passaccia's at the top of that list. Outside of maybe there's a head football coach that maybe some folks aren't real happy with. Is that fair? when you want to start looking at the grand scheme of things?
I have a feeling that there are some folks that feel that way.
Yeah,
I think Ken Krause is doing a fine job at Muskego.
Yeah, Jace Rindle.
What happened at Whitewater, too? Great crowd.
A lot of crowds, big crowd.
We have old boy on. 17-0 lead. And it sounds as if lacrosse made a heck of a comeback, huh?
Lacrosse did make a heck of a double overtime. They pulled that one out on the road.
Is there anything else in the stream of consciousness that you'd like to touch on before we get to Brian Bulaga?
I just don't want dead air. So if I have to continue just to roll with stream of consciousness, I will. No, I don't want to, though. I want a sound, structurally good show today is what I'm looking
okay,
for.
Okay, yes, you're all about structure. Adam in the Berg on the Carbless Target text line. Pat Murphy is the Dan Campbell of Major League Baseball. He's got a blue-collar, hard-working mentality. I wish Matt LaFleur and his fancy eyebrows and hair could be more like Pat Murphy.
Oh, snap.
Can Pat Murphy also somehow coach the Packers? Again, I do think that probably the eyebrows and the fact that Tom Brady on a broadcast last year said that LaFleur told him, which again, I've never been in a production meeting, but I can tell you this, if I was an NFL coach, I would be brutally uninteresting in those. Because it seems like Matt LaFleur has gotten burned multiple times on that.
You love gossiping, though. You couldn't help yourself.
Right, but again, there was the comparing, telling Joe Buck and Troy Aikman specifically, don't use this, but Tay Wicks has some Davante Adams to him. And what did they do? They made the comparison and said that he told Tom Rinaldi. Then there was the Tom Rinaldi, I pray when Anders Carlson goes out there. That did not go well.
Jason, I'll agree. If I'm Matt LaFleur, I ain't saying jack.
Exactly.
You've been fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, the game room's closed. Fool me three times, I ain't doing production meetings no more. That's the new quote.
Back off Rinaldi.
All right, so we want to get to Brian Bulaga.
Still the best dinner of all time, though, hosted by Tom Rinaldi should be hosting dinner parties on top of his job. Like, he should do a dinner party with Tom deal, and I'm telling you,
a wine tasting with Matt LaFleur. I wonder if they ever made amends, because he still does games. I wonder how they kind of work their way past that.
Yeah, what happens is you fake it, and you say everything's fine, but you don't give him anything anymore. That's why I would bet you throw Erin Andrews over there and let her work, and Tom Rinaldi does the opposing team, because Matt's not giving him anything. You forgive, but you don't forget. So if you think old boy's going to give Rinaldi anything, you're crazy. He ain't.
Another coach you trust, this may be a slightly biased opinion from Dan in Brothertown, but Kayla Karius from UW-Green Bay women's basketball. So well done, Dan.
He's biased.
We do trust her.
Well, he's biased on that.
Slightly. Yeah, just a smidge.
She has never lost the Horizon League title.
That's true. I trust Tausch with smart prize picks. Because it's good to be right, and he's right way more often than he's wrong.
We've had a good run. Not a great last weekend, but been pretty doggone good this year with Prize Picks. And you know what? It's fun. Football season is here, and Prize Picks is ready for you. Pick more or less on at least two player projections. And now the greatest month in sports.
I agree.
Somebody could tell me there's a different month that's better. I'll tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. Right now, if you want on Prize Picks, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL.
Cricket?
I'm guessing there's some... What?
Cricket?
I haven't checked if there's cricket, but I bet there should be. And you know what? It is easy and safe to play. You can go with flex play. If you want the big payout, you go power play. But no matter how you play, Prize Picks makes it fun all season. And withdrawals, fast, safe, and secure, Apple Pay, Venmo, and more. That's why millions of fans are already on America's number one fantasy sports app. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI. Get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI for $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
It's good to be right.
No cricket, but there is handball under prize picks.
Is there?
Right? Yeah. Mads Lenbrock, more or less than 4.5 goals.
He's been pretty hot lately, from what I understand.
Doesn't that seem like a lot of goals in handball?
He's a Mads man.
There's some basketball game over there in Europe. They don't have a backboard, and it's just a hoop. And you have to, like, dump it in. It's a weird game. You can't dribble. You only can pass, but you can't take more than a step. But you shoot the ball, and it goes in, and then you pass it. It's a weird game.
Okay.
I don't think it's called basketball. Weird.
Brian Bulaga, eventually.
Nervous energy.
Will join us on today's program.
I'm not nervous.
Well, you're chatty Cathy for sure.
Well, because of the dead air, it was dead air open. If we have a DAO, I feel obligated to talk more. And
D-A-O.
I'd rather it be
open. Okay.
Dead air open. A DAO, if you will.
Brian Bulaga, save us, please. Next.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
It is time for our favorite former Packers right tackle. Number one, ahead of Earl Dotson, ahead of Forrest Gregg, ahead of Anthony Belton. I guess he's a current one. It is Brian Bulaga on Will the Attach. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, so you're a sports radio opinionator. Now you got your Surfside deal. You're legit. Who's the Wisconsin sports coach you trust the most? And you can't say Kirk Ferentz because he's an Iowa coach.
That's true.
And you're not going to say Luke Fickell, I'm guessing. Sorry.
He wouldn't have been my first choice regardless. Just being honest.
Appreciate your honesty.
I played for Matt LaFleur, so obviously I have a lot of trust in the guy. But, I mean, right now you're looking at the way the Brewers are playing. I mean, how can you not trust what you got going on over there, right? Like, I mean, he is phenomenal. He's a phenomenal manager. You're mm-hmm. seeing what he's doing right now and how the team plays, how they rally for him. Like, I watched his presser the other day about what he said about Council and how, like, you know, how he felt about people booing Council and things like that and how he didn't like it. And you know, like, whether he feels that way or he doesn't feel that way, you know, regardless, how he handled that, like, I think it's a good guy, right? Like, I kind of like the way he handled that. You know, he could have went a different way with that or, you know, whatever, right? I just kind of like that. Like, you know, I like how he handles things. I think he's kind of like a good old boy, which I think, like, is a good vibe for a you know, clubhouse. So I'm gonna go with the Brew Crew manager. Like, I just think he's got something special going there right now. And right, you know, I hope they sweep today because I hate the Cubs. So, like, I'm going to go with the hot hand. And that's where I'm going. That's
Brian Bulaga, a big White Sox guy. Yes.
Yes, Blue.
Correct.
Blue, after what we saw, it seems like it was a month ago, with the fact the Packers had a bye. Not asking you who you think, because you obviously have a relationship with Matt LaFleur. Who do you think Packer fans trust more, Matt LaFleur or Jeff Hafley?
You know, they've had 2 years of Hafley, and obviously Hafley's defense was good last year. It's been really good this year. I mean, they gave up, you know, whatever, the points last week against Dallas, and it is what it is, right? I mean, they just didn't play good, and for whatever reason, right? I mean, it just wasn't a good game. I think if you look at it short term right now, like if you were to poll them right now, they would say, they'd probably say Halfley right now, right? And looking at very short-sighted and forgetting the long term of this, they'd probably say Halfley. Mm-hmm. But if you look, I mean, I think if you let them think about it without a knee-jerk reaction, look over it at the long term, right? And kind of the body of work and you know, you look at the transition from McCarthy and kind of everything that was accomplished to where they are now and how much success has been had since that transition, I think they would say LaFleur, right? I mean, I really do, because he's – from where Green Bay was, and I was part of that, right? From where Green Bay was in 17 and 18 when we were hot garbage, right? And we were hot garbage in 17 and 18, which is – really hard to think about. It really is. It's hard to say that.
Can I interrupt you briefly?
Sure.
If Rodgers doesn't break his collarbone in 17, you're not hot garbage, right? Like, you were 4-1 when he got hurt, right?
Yeah, no, I know, but the record's the record, right? Like, I mean, I get it, but we were what we were.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I know that what we started at. We started out really good. To start that year, but we ended what we ended, and you know, I hate to make excuses for it, but that's it ended the way it ended.
Is
right?
hot garbage and, is hot garbage a lot worse than cold garbage just because of the smell?
Yes,
great
question.
Yeah, because it just bakes.
Yeah.
Think about it in the Florida sun down here. You don't. It's not good.
Oh,
it's not good. It's the. Yeah. It's just not. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So if you're hiding,
I suppose when you think about animal carcasses, you'd much rather it be cold and they freeze than you know.
Yes.
Hot.
So if you're in Brian's neighborhood, trying to avoid the authorities, don't hide in the hot garbage can.
Do not. I would not.
Did we locate that guy, by the way? Are you everything? We never went back to that. Was everybody safe and sound after the ATF, FBI, CIA were all in your neighborhood?
So to my knowledge, I mean, everyone's safe, but to my knowledge, not been located.
Oh, no.
To my knowledge.
He got away.
To my knowledge.
He escaped the dragon.
To my knowledge. He got away. How? I don't know. But he is. There has been, wild stuff. Wild stuff. No idea. Like, wild times.
Florida.
Yeah, I don't
Florida,
know.
Florida, eh?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know. You would have thought if a gator didn't get him, they would have got him. But he got away. I would say LaFleur just, but again, like, I think you're going to look at knee-jerk reaction right now, like, oh, Halfley, because the defense is playing so good and this and that, and Matt's made a couple bad, you know, game management with the game clock decisions as of late, and that's what we think about in the now, right? And I think that's what would spur, you know, that vote as of right now. But mm-hmm. I think you look at the big picture, you'd say, I mean, I would say Matt for me personally, but if you would look at everyone else, I think they would say Matt in the big picture of it.
Blue, if you, the Joe Flacco trade, which happened yesterday after our show, I was under the impression, because I think Browning was a turnover machine,
mm-hmm.
we saw Flacco play this defense. Cincinnati's defense is not Cleveland's defense. They are not going to be able to play Johnny conservative, dinky dunky, dunkaroo offense. But they don't have to because they got a much better receiving core. And I'm a little worried that Joe Flacco with the deep ball and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, that they might be able to do something. I still think Green Bay is in a good spot, but I think they're in a less of a good spot than they were before that trade got announced. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. Like, I saw that trade, and I was like, you got to be, like, seriously? Like, you know, because, like, the one thing Flacco will do is he has no problem pushing the ball downfield, and he can push the ball downfield accurately, right? Like, that's one thing we know Flacco can do, and you have those two wideouts who are extremely gifted, and they will go get the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, those two guys are studs. And, like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and knock the Cowboys wide receivers that they had, but T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are a different type of beast than what Dallas had out there. So, like, we'll just put it that way, right? So, yeah, it makes me a little concerned from that point of, you know, from that point of view looking at it from there. But I will say this. Cincinnati's offensive line is having a rough go at it protecting. They don't block very well, and Joe Flacco doesn't move very well, like Dak say would, or you know, something like that. So that's an issue that Cincinnati has to kind of deal with. So, like, yeah, we're worried about Joe Flacco pushing the ball downfield, but the receivers have to be able to get downfield for Joe Flacco to push the ball downfield, which the offensive line has to hold up, which I'm not sure they're able to. Mm-hmm. So there's components to that, you know, that have to work out for them to be able to do that. But certainly Flacco is a better option, right? You're talking about taking care of the football. He will do that. Like, Flacco will take care of the ball much better instead of turning it over like Browning did against Detroit. They may just – he'll take care of it and they'll punt it, right? And they'll do things like that instead. So that's certainly something that you'll see Cincinnati probably most likely – change and for their sake and the better, right? Like, and that'll be something that will be a positive for them. But defensively, Cincinnati, yeah, they're not Cleveland. They're certainly not. They do have a really good edge rusher that everyone in Green Bay did want at one point, right? Hendrickson, he's really good, and he had a nice day against Detroit as well. Like, he's playing at a really high level. Like, you watch that game against Detroit, he played really well. So that's a guy that you're going to have to account for. Like, he's really good. And, you know, he's also playing for a contract, it appears, again, right? Like, so he's the guy that's very motivated. So it'll be interesting I think you look at it from both sides of the ball. And Taj, I don't know how you felt. I always felt off a bye week, right? Like, yeah, you're refreshed mentally, right? You get that little break, but like, how do you come out of the bye week, right? Do you come out with energy, or do you come out a little sluggish, a little rusty? How do you feel coming out of that bye week again, and especially against an opponent that isn't playing well, right? Like, they're not playing well. You're coming off the bye week. All signs are saying you should beat this team by, what's the spread, 14? You should blow them out of the water, right? Like, those are the things that I just, you know, I don't like those signs, right? Like, I don't like those things. A 14-point spread in an NFL game is just enormous. Like, you know, I mean, those things are just huge. I'm not saying that Green Bay can't beat them by double digits. I'm certainly not saying they can't. But, like, coming out of the bye week and a new quarterback now that's already faced them once with better weapons now offensively, it's just, you know, it creates some, you know, questions for Green Bay on the defensive side of the ball that, you know, they have to answer. And then offensively, right, they got to get back on the horse and going again from a run game standpoint, control the ball, and see if they can get that part of their game going again.
All right, Brian, in the interest of managing the clock more effectively, we'll still keep you till like 10:18, but we'll take our break here because I do want to talk about the offensive line. I talked to Zach Tom on Monday, and he feels a lot better. And he had a great practice blocking air, which is a lot less
fun to block.
Difficult
That's good.
Than blocking Trey Hendrickson or Miles
helium.
Garrett.
You don't want to block helium. It's tough.
Don't change your voice and you'll sound like this if you get into it too close.
More Brian Belaga next. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might
the great Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch. All right, Brian, so I talked to Zach Tom on Monday. His plan is to have, I don't know if it's going to be Micah Parsons or Lucas Van Ness or whoever it's going to be, but he wants to take on some true blue bull rushes to test out his oblique because, yeah, it's great that he was able to practice on Monday, but again, that ain't the same as having Myles Garrett crash into you on the first play and feeling a jolt of pain that you cannot bear for another 60 snaps. If you're in his position, how do you figure out where that line is? He said pain management is a factor in this. He thinks that they've figured out some ways to make it a little less painful. Again, this isn't like a knee that you put a brace on, but the time off certainly helped. But he's not going to be 100%. He told me it's going to be something he has to deal with all season long, which marks the second straight year he's had that, because last year he had to deal with coming back from the pec all season. But this is why they pay you guys the big bucks, is to play through stuff and then be judged by pipsqueaks like me saying, well, I didn't play that well when he was playing through injury. So what would be your game plan this week if you're him?
Yeah, I mean, I think to get those reps in, right? Like, I mean, I think the first thing, if I were him, I would go on the scout team for the defense and I would take reps there. That would be the first thing I would do, because if you want to get those reps in, that would be the way to go about it, right? Because you're not sure if you're going to play this week, and you want to make sure that the guys on offense that are, you know, healthy get their reps. So if you don't want to go in there and take reps away from the guys that may be starting at right tackle and take their reps away, so I would start by taking the reps on scout team, right? And you're going against Van Ness or Parsons or Rashawn Gary every single time, guaranteed, because they're getting their work in against the look team from Cleveland. And then if Zach Tom wants to take the pass rush, you know, the passing reps, he can go in there for literally passing reps. So he's getting those reps for sure. So that's what I would do, and see how it feels, right? And you can kind of go from there and get, you know, a feel for how it goes for maybe 5 to 10 plays, and then come back and see how it feels the next day. But to think you're gonna see how that feels after one day of practice and go, all right, I'm gonna be able to play Sunday, that's a big ask, right? Like it seems like it's a big ask to do right now. Like I think that's like a build-up process, right? Like you almost have to do that for almost like 2 weeks and see how that goes for like 2 weeks. And then after like 2 weeks of like you feeling like that's gotten stronger and it's gotten better and you haven't had any setbacks, then you go in and then you're like, all right, I feel like this is good enough for me to go play,
Brian,
and then you integrate yourself back in.
Yeah, yep. It's different too, because he already tried this.
Yeah.
I think there's always a little leeway, especially with a guy that you've paid and you know and has played a lot of football for you. They're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. If they ask Blue on, you know, you're playing, and they ask you on a Saturday, how are you feeling? And you said, I can do it. They're going to give you that. And then if you go out and you play two snaps, and in Zach's case, one, all of a sudden then it goes to, well, I trusted you, but we can't have this happen again. You have the bye, you missed a game or two. There is a different math now to having him go back out on the field than there was the first time, because not that he was lying or I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying he didn't know, but he wanted to go out and play, and as a staff, you now need more verification than just Zach said he's good to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, yeah, 100%. Yeah, you need more proof of that, right? Like, I mean, that's the way it has to go. And, like, it's the only way you get that is now physical reps against high-quality, you know, opponent, which is your guys, which is then Gary Parsons, yeah, and Van Ness. Like that's the way you get it, right? You don't, and this isn't a knock on scout team guys, but you're not going to get that against scout team guys. Like, and that's just being honest. Like, you're not going to get that same look from those guys. Like, I mean, you just won't. You won't get the bull rush and then the quick redirect from those guys. You'll get that from Parsons. You'll get that from Gary. I mean, you'll get that from those guys. And that's the only way to judge that, right? So, like, and then it's not even that. It's how do you feel after, like, five or six of those? And then how do you feel the next day? And then are you able to do it again the next day? Like, those are the things that, like, you know, you have to factor into that. Because say he does go play, right? Like, say he plays and he goes and plays against Cincinnati and he does get through it. But then he can't move for 5 days. You got to go play another game the next week. And then he goes into the game the next week and he plays like a series. And it does, but you know what I'm saying? And then here we are again. And then we're back on this cycle. So, like, that's the only thing I'm kind of, like, trying to get at is that, you know, I'm not saying that they don't trust him. Then, you know, since he's a paid guy and you know, he's a starter and he's very important, that he's on a different type of, you know, he gets to do different things, which that's normally the way things work. But since he hasn't done anything like this, right, like, or done any reps, like, there should be, or at least in my mind, like, a little ramp-up period to get that oblique kind of, like, tuned up to, like, contact and, like, stress and see how that works, right? And get it fine-tuned because, like, if you just throw it into the fire and be like, here you go, go have fun, there could be a repeat.
Brian, speaking of ramp-up periods, I think, and I'm sure you were this way, I'm sure Tausch was this way coming back from an ACL, once you get the green light to practice again, you want to play. And I'm sure Christian Yes. Watson is feeling that too. What if Christian Watson were to call you after this segment and say, hey, Brian, do you have any advice for me? Because I in talking with him on Monday, he would love to play on Sunday already, even though all he did was individual Yeah. work on air on Monday. We'll see what he does today. But what would your advice be? Because that's great that he's practicing this week, but it feels to me like there needs to be a ramp-up period there too.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it's great that his, you know, his recovery's gone so well and his knee feels good, and he says it's, you know, I've heard a couple of his clips that he said his knee feels great and he feels confident in it. But the only way he's really going to feel confident in it, right, is going against DBs and doing it in practice at a high speed, right? And I remember coming back off my first ACL in OTAs, like, I was very, very timid, you know, my first, like, probably few weeks on it, right? Like, I was very cautious, and that was just in OTAs. That wasn't even in, like, training camp or anything, because once I got to training camp, I was okay, because I had gone through OTAs, and I, you know, had gone through kind of that period of going through it, right, and going through that period of, like, all right, it's okay, like, I can do this and do that. So that would be my advice, like, hey, man, like, give yourself a little bit of time to go through all these, to go through all these actions with bodies around you, with bodies falling around you, with, you know, jumping and coming back down and making cuts with people around you, right, like, and going through these full speed actions before you go back on a field. Then you're getting hit for real and guys going low and trying to, you know, chop you down from the legs. Because, like, listen, Christian, you're a big receiver. DBs don't want to tackle you up high because you're just going to truck them. Like, you're going to run them over. They can't tackle you up high. So the only way they're going to take you down is to try to cut you down low. Like, that's, I mean, when you're a big, strong receiver like he is, that's where they're going to try to take him down. Like, they got to take him down from the thigh board and down. So, like, try to get your body prepared for that, right? Get your, you know, legs and mentally really too, like, in practice, like, feel like no one's going to touch him in practice that way, but, like, having bodies around him and getting used to that is a way to get ready for that. And that's just going against your own guys and team periods and feeling that speed and kind of the congestion of football, right? Like, that's being in you know, the middle of the field and catching passes and all those things. So that'd be my suggestion, right? I mean, obviously the timetable is, you know, it's his body and what he's telling the trainers and the coaches. And then obviously it's up to Goody when he pulls him and says he's ready to go, right? That's his call. But from a player standpoint, it's just make sure you're 100%, because it's obviously, you know, it's your knee, it's your body, and you know, you want to make sure that when you step out on that field, that there is no doubts. You know, you have no doubts that, like, when you're not even thinking about your knee when you're running a route, you know, catching the ball, going over the middle, cutting, doing anything. There's not even a thought about it. It is literally just the route, the ball, the play, the adjust, everything. That's the only thing that you're thinking about.
All right, Brian, I'm also curious about if they don't have Aaron Banks, which, again, he practiced on Monday as well, and I don't say this lightly, is it possible that they're better off with their first-round pick from last year, Jordan Morgan, starting somewhere? Like, the grading on, you know, I know we're talking about a guy who wears 65 and a guy that wears 75, which are very important numbers to you two, but they have not necessarily played at the level you two played at when you were wearing them. And if they want to get their offense going, their offensive line has to get healthy and get productive. And I think there were flashes of it in the second half against Dallas, right? They ran the ball pretty well. Jordan Love had ample time most of the time. But where do you think they are at guard? And is it time to, at the very least, start rotating Jordan Morgan in? We had a long talk earlier in the week, Tausch and I, about whether or not he is better suited to just be a guard all the time. What do you think of where he's at and what they need to do there?
Yeah, I mean, I still think from what the little we saw of Jordan Morgan at tackle, right? He played left tackle in the preseason.
He did.
While Sheed was out, and I thought he looked okay at left tackle. To be honest with you, I thought he looked okay. So I'm not ruling him out as a left tackle. To be dead honest, like, I'm not going to rule him out there because I thought he looked good. And like, if people are going to say he's struggling at guard, that's okay. And I say that because there's a reason, because sometimes if a true tackle struggles at guard, it's because he's a true tackle. And it's because tackles aren't meant to play guard, right? I mean, there's a reason, right? And it's not because he's not good enough or he's not this, right? It's just because he's a tackle. And they're trying to get him on the field and play him at guard. But regardless of the fact, it has been a little bit of a struggle at the guard position, whether it's been injuries or just inconsistent play or whatever it may be, right? I mean, it's been a little bit up and down and this and that. So if Banks is healthy and he does come back and play, I mean, they're not rotating him, right? He's not going to get rotated. So that's off the table. So it really comes down to Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan. And if you're going to do that, okay. Then that's what you're doing. And what I've always found and what I've always seen, because obviously, you know, I'm anti-rotation. Like, I don't like it. But what I've always, I guess, ended up finding the way this happens, and maybe that's why I'm always anti-rotation, is Sean Ryan ends up playing really well, right? And you see glimpses of it, and then you're like, why are they doing this? Like, because Sean Ryan plays well, and then it's inconsistent when you really want Sean Ryan in there. He's run blocking or pass blocking well. Then they make a rotation. And then it stalls out a little bit. And then Jordan Morgan or whoever they're rotating plays well for, like, the series. And then the rotation happens again. So, like, it just stays inconsistent for, like, a series. And then the next guy plays well for a series. Then they're out. So, like, if they're going to do it, okay. But, like, that's my only concern with it, right? Like, and It makes me, you know, I feel bad for the guys when you do that, right? Like, if you're going to, if you don't like the way someone's playing, right, whether that's Sean Ryan, whether that's whoever, right? Like, and I'm not sitting here saying I don't like the way Sean Ryan's playing or this or that. Has everyone on this line made mistakes? Of course they have. Like, has everyone played well? No, not everyone has played well. Like, I mean, let's be real here. Like, so, like, if we're going to sit here and try to, like, finger point guys, like, that's a little bit unfair because, like, I think no one has played, like, their best football at this point, right? Like, I think that's pretty fair to say. But if you want to make a change, right, if you want to see and make a change and try something, like, just do it and see how you like it, like this rotation stuff, like it I don't think it does anybody like good, right? Because then it puts guys in limbo. Like if you want to make a change and you want to see something, then make a change and see how it goes. And do it for a game, do it for two, and see how people perform and see how people react and see how the guys on the line react and see how the guys next to them react. That's the only way you're going to find out. Because if you just continue to rotate, I just feel like you just kind of continue down the same pattern, because then you're putting in the same person that you think isn't doing the job the way you want them to, right? Like, and to me, that kind of defeats the purpose. So I don't see them doing that. You know, I don't know if they're going to pull Sean Ryan, because I don't think he's performing to that level that you would be like, we're just pulling him out. I don't think he's playing that poorly, because I don't think he's playing that poorly. I don't see that at all. But could I see them, if Banks is healthy, rotating Jordan Morgan in because they want him on the field and they want to continue to get him snaps and reps? Yeah, I could certainly see it. I could certainly see them doing that and going back to that style of play where they, you know, every couple series or whatever, however they do it, I can certainly see him doing it. Because injuries have been an issue so far, right? So you want to make sure that Jordan Morgan, your sixth guy, continues to get snaps so that if he's needed, he comes in and he's essentially sharp, right? He's been playing snaps and he's ready to go if called upon.
All right, Blue. Big tussle up at the camp coming up on Saturday. Iowa embarrassed us last year. There is no two ways about it. We have guys doing 42 push-ups because they threw a 42-piece nug on us. They ran the ball down our throats in the second half. We end up going a lot bigger up front this year, and I think a lot of it has to do with what Iowa did to us. Give us a quick scouting report. I know you're very good up front again. Quarterback's hurt. Mm-hmm. We don't know what his status is yet. Give us a taste and give us a little prediction on what Big Blue is going to think he's going to see at the camp on Saturday.
Yeah, so don't know what the quarterback status is, right? I mean, I think that's kind of been the big question. And obviously, against Indiana, once he got removed from the equation, that's kind of where the game kind of got, you know, it didn't get out of whack. We lost by, you know, I think it was 5. It was 20-15 is the way the game ended. So, like, they hung in there against Indiana really well. But once the quarterback got hurt, it's kind of over, unfortunately. But they played well against Indiana. But I think the formula is going to be run the rock. And obviously, I mean, I watched Wisconsin. I thought they played against Michigan really well. At least for most of the game, they played Michigan really well. So it's going to be a tough test to run the football, especially if we're not able to throw the ball with any consistency with a backup quarterback. If our main guy is not able to play, that's a big problem. On the flip side of that, our defense is very good again. Like, they showed it against Indiana. Indiana's been scoring like 45 points a game, and they were only able to manage 20 against Iowa. Like, I don't know how they continue to do it, but the Iowa defense is very good. They don't give up anything. Like, I mean, if they do give up something, they force teams to field goals. And it's very typical of Iowa that we're probably going to see a low-scoring game unless Iowa's able to, like, break down Wisconsin's defense and run the ball like they did last year. But, again, if they don't have their starting QB, it could be like one of those weird games that we saw a few years back where it was like 10-6 or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, that puncher. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, so, like, I could see that. Yeah, now he's a Bear. So, like, I could see one of those games where it's like a 10-6 or something like that, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not even
10-6.
Yeah, like something really yucky like that. Like, and I'm just being honest. Like, it's, yeah. And that's and listen, right. Maybe that may clear out Camp Randall faster than anything. Like, a 10-6 game may clear out the camp faster than anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that can get fans to boo faster.
Hey, if we have 10, man. We'll take that all day and build. We might. I'm not going to say we'll storm the field, but I think a couple years ago we beat Iowa and we had. Did we not? We had a bunch of criticism because we stormed the field after we beat Iowa.
Iowa was number 9 in 2021. Wisconsin beat them and stormed the field. That is the last time the Badgers have beaten the Hawkeyes. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed Jesse was awfully quiet during that conversation about the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, Joe.
I mean, do you remember last year's game? Like, I'm minding
that
my
doesn't
own
usually deter remember. You.
I'm minding my own business in the middle of last year's game, out with some friends at a local establishment, Coors Lights in hand. All of a sudden, Brian Bulaga's blowing up my phone. Hey, you watching this? Oh my God, what a pathetic showing. This is miserable.
I'm just hoping.
I'm at a wedding Saturday night. The last thing I need while I'm celebrating Jordan and Danielle with a few Tito's and whatever in hand is
tier one or tier two?
Tier two. I'm not standing, so tier two.
Okay.
The last thing I need at the wedding is Bulaga said, oh, my God, they're doing it again.
you're going to have it on your phone. You're going to have it on your phone. What are you talking about? You're going to be watching it on your phone. And I mean, come on. Let's be real.
And if it's not 10 to 6, if it's 42 to 10, you'll be hearing from Brian Bulaga again as well.
Yeah. I can tell you this. I'd much rather have one eye on Wisconsin-Iowa than Cubs-Brewers Game 5 on Saturday if I'm at a wedding. That could be a big problem.
All right, Brian.
Yep.
It's always the highlight of our week, buddy. I will talk to you later in the week with Homer. Thanks. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
That is the great Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Speaking of great group of offices, David's birthday yesterday, I texted him. Got the heads up from my buddy John Kerry. Sent David a happy birthday note. We appreciate him and how supportive he's been of our show from the very beginning. We also appreciate that if we ever are injured in an accident, which hopefully we aren't, he's the call to make. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Grubel offices, one call, that's all. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.